For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center here in Atlantic and Lyman, respectively. This is Bob Evensee along with Grant Jelly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Morning, Grant.
Good morning, Bob.
Spring rolls on. We get the same problems every spring. This is kind of your first one up here in Iowa. Probably had the same problem down there in Missouri, and that is people picking up the wildlife. Keep your cotton picking hands off of them, right?
Yeah, you're a good spokesman for it. It's kind of the same wherever you go. I'm confident every conservation officer or DNR agency in the nation kind of gets on their soapbox and goes through this each spring. But, no matter how many times you tell people, you still have people who, and they have good intentions, don't get me wrong, but they stumble across a baby bunny or a raccoon or something like that, and automatically the first instinct they have is to pick it up, put it in a box, throw some sticks and grass in there and hope for the best. And, not only is that illegal, but it's really a death sentence for the wildlife because, inevitably we feed them the wrong types of food, they become dependent upon humans, and they sometimes lose their fear of us. And a chance of a successful return to the wild for that critter is pretty slim. So, I had this conversation the other day with a person who had really good intentions, but you need to keep in mind if you come across something that's in your yard, say a baby bird or a baby possum or raccoon, and it's there by itself, there may be a good reason why it's there. And Mother Nature has been taking care of wildlife for many years, and she's perfected it. But people have a hard time grasping the fact that nature's cruel. And if Mama Coon or Mama Possum knows way better than we do, and if she has a young that isn't as strong as the others, she's going to abandon it. And or if she knows that it's sickened or something along those lines. So sometimes we just have to let nature take its course, and it's okay to look at them, show the kids, take some pictures, but the last thing we want to do is scoop them up and bring them into the house or put them in a box and try to raise them on their own, because it really doesn't turn out good for anybody.
You bet. Okay. Looking into the program a little bit further on, we're going to be talking to parents of children that are going into third through sixth grade, a wonderful opportunity for a camping experience. We'll come back and talk about that later on. More important things we got coming is this is a free fishing weekend and lots of big doings over at Lake Anita.
It is, yeah. We've got the kids fishing derby going on today. You said it. This is the first weekend of June is the free fishing weekend for Iowa residents. That's what needs to be kept in mind. We're close enough to some border states here that we do see a lot of non-residents. So if you're an Iowa resident, you don't have to have a fishing license to fish this Friday through Sunday. People do need to keep in mind, though, that if you're the resident, you don't require a license, but you still have length limits and bag limits and all that good stuff that you still have to abide by. So it's just a good opportunity for people who maybe might fish once or twice a year to get out and enjoy the weekend, try their hand at fishing, in hopes that we recruit a new angler, bring a kid with them or bring someone who, maybe they might not want to spend the $19 normally as a resident, but they think, I'll go take the kids out this weekend. So it's a good opportunity for folks to get out and enjoy the outdoors.
You bet it is. The DNR has got a little program going on called Mission Fishing. So that is an opportunity for people to take a youngster out and show them how it's done.
It is, and I'm not real keen on what's going on with that program, but I have seen some pictures on Facebook, the DNR's Facebook page, the Mission Fishing, and I think it has something to do with Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, you're supposed to take a selfie more or less with you and a youngster and your catch, and you can submit it to the DNR via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and put the hashtag Mission Fishing, and it'll be posted there for others to see.
Okay, getting back on the soapbox again, let's talk about boating and boating safety.
Yeah, this is a time of the year where weather warms up and people are really starting to kind of turn towards fishing. And when we talk about fishing, usually we kind of talk about boating because it does go hand in hand. But last weekend with Memorial Weekend, we've seen a fair number of people that are getting out and starting to hit the waters. And just wanted to take a few minutes and kind of remind folks of some of the the common violations that we run into, and just kind of how a boater can have a checklist before they hit the water. But, you know, the first thing that myself as a conservation officer, when I'm doing a safety check on a vessel, the number one thing we look for is the registration on the vessel. And those are some things that we kind of see some confusion or just people just disregarding the law. But basically, all boats that hit public waters in Iowa have to be registered. The only exceptions are if it's an inflatable vessel, which is 7 feet or less in length and has no motor or sail, or the other big one that we see a lot of times are canoes and kayaks that are 13 feet or less in length with no motor or sail, do not have to be registered. Anything that's above that 13 feet, if it's a canoe, a kayak, or 7 feet as an inflatable, has to be registered. So you want to make sure that you're registered, and obviously it's got the green sticker that runs through 2019 for Iowa residents. If you're a non-resident visiting Iowa waters, you can boat on your state's registration in Iowa for up to 60 days, but it does have to be current in, say, you come from Nebraska or Illinois or Missouri.
Sure.
The other thing that we see, kind of the other big violation a lot of times that we run across, is PFDs or life jackets. Anybody who's on that vessel has to have a life jacket readily accessible to them. They don't necessarily have to have them on unless they're youth, between the ages of 12 and under. They have to have a life jacket on while that vessel is in motion. But there has to be a life jacket for everybody on board, and it has to be a jacket that is rated for that person. I had some people last weekend that were full-grown adults hold up an infant life jacket, and I hate to tell them, but that wasn't going to go around their leg, let alone do them any good. So it has to be rated for an adult, and there'll be a sticker on the back of the life jacket that has the rating for infant or child or adult, and it'll have a weight capacity on there as well. So that's one of those things, and I tell people this. If you drive down the road and you don't have your seatbelt on and you get stopped by a police officer, you're going to get a citation. Same thing goes for life jackets. Mm-hmm. It's a safety violation, and we stress, and you know, the only way to really get the point across sometimes is through a citation. So not trying to be mean or get on a soapbox with people, but the last thing I want to see is somebody drown or lose their life because they didn't have a life jacket available to them. Also, on the subject of life jackets, if it's 16 feet or longer in length, it has to have a Type 4 throwable, which is basically the seat cushion that you have to have on there as well. And that's one that we see a lot of times. People just they don't take the time to remember that one. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it's a 10-horse or larger motor on board the vessel, it has to have a fire extinguisher on board as well. And not only does it have to have a fire extinguisher, but a working fire extinguisher. And I've run across some fire extinguishers here lately that could probably be sold on eBay for antiques. They're so old, and the gauge is no longer readable, or they just are no longer good. So we got to make sure that they've got a workable fire extinguisher on there. And then on the starboard side of the vessel, on the back side, you're going to have a sticker or the letters OR that tells the capacity number for that boat. So if it's a 8-person vessel, that the rating for the Coast Guard placard says 8, you got to have an 8 on the starboard side of the boat. So that, and the reason for that is when we pass you on the water, instead of having to stop and look inside and look at your placard, it's a lot easier for us to see that from a distance, and we can count heads and see and make sure that boat is not overloaded, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay. So those are just some of the things that we commonly see that people fail to abide by, and you know, they're pretty common and real. You know, that's not asking a whole lot, and those are all safety requirements that we request of people. And you know, before you hit the water, I saw some people the other day that it was first time on the water with this boat they bought, and they were trying to rebuild it, and they got on there, and they didn't have a fire extinguisher, they were lacking a couple life jackets, and you know, I understand that people are excited to get out there and try their new toy out, but you do have some simple requirements that you got to go over before you jump on the water. So take the time and do it. And if you got questions about it, you know, give us a phone call. That's what we're here for. Go to the website. We've got the handbook online that you can look up all the requirements and laws. And after reading it, if you're still unsure, by all means, give me a call, and I'll try to help you out as best I can.
Okay, sounds great. Let's get on to the camping deal, the opportunity for parents. This is almost too good to believe. This is a week-long deal for kids going into third through sixth grade, right?
It is, and this is something I'm just learning about today, but I can tell you right now, I'm sending both my kids to this when they're old enough because, like you said, this is an incredible opportunity. It's a five-day camp. It costs $100 per child, and we're running these at six Iowa State parks this year.
Including Viking right now.
Yeah, we've got Viking. We've got two pretty close options here. We've got Springbrook up in Guthrie Center, or we've got Viking. Some of the other ones are kind of across the state, so those are the two local ones here that will be available. Viking's coming up real soon here. It's June 12th through the 16th, and the one at Springbrook will be June 26th through the 30th. And this is a program that's put on by the University of Iowa. It sounds like a neat camp that exposes kids to all sorts of different wildlife opportunities and outdoor adventures. So you want to make sure that you go to the website and get signed up for these, because it looks like they're just taking 40 students per camp. So, you know, the seats are limited. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a fantastic opportunity if you've got a kid that, you know, may not have a parent who's into the outdoors and wants to expose them to that. I think this would be a great opportunity, but you can go to our website and get more information about it. Great program that hope people take advantage of.
Yeah, that almost makes me wish I had a couple kids that age.
You bet.
I'd send them down there. You bet. Okay, we got a minute or two left. Turkey hunting was probably as successful as usual. Not too many actual returns, 11,000 some.
Yeah.
Out of 50,000 tags, and there's probably some that can get turned in, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good harvest. You know, turkey hunting is real dependent upon weather, and we had kind of hit and miss weather opportunities there. It seems like wind and rain can make hunting difficult for turkeys, but you know, we've got a long season, so that does help out some, and we have all day hunting here in Iowa, which also helps out a lot. So, yeah, it's a good harvest. Didn't hear of too many incidents or accidents that resulted during turkey season. So, we've got lots of opportunities for turkeys here in Iowa. And, you know, I'll be honest, that number was kind of surprising to me. I thought that there may be a few more turkeys harvested in Iowa. When I worked in Missouri, 40,000 was the average.
Oh, really?
Annually. Yeah. So but there's a lot of turkeys in Missouri and a lot of turkey hunters, but we've got a lot of turkeys here in Iowa. I just don't think we have the number of turkey hunters as we do deer hunters.
You people down in Missouri, that's subsistence.
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is that. And right now we're in the middle of the pheasant nesting season. I understand some people have seen a few young ones already, so they're starting to pop out of the eggs.
Getting a few reports of people seeing some pheasant chicks along the roadside. And, you know, this is something that we might throw out there, too, that you and I kind of talked about. If you're a landowner, now's a good time to maybe hold off on mowing your pasture or your CRP ground or places that you just typically mow, because a lot of those ground nesting birds, mowers are probably the number one killer of pheasant nest in Iowa. So if you can hold off until, you know, mid to late next month, that's ideal. I understand, you know, that sometimes you just have to, but, you know, if you're an outdoorsman or an upland hunter, that's something to keep in mind before you jump on the bush hog and take off, is that you really could put a real hurt on the local pheasant population.
You bet. If we could get the DOT and the county road people not to mow the ditches and that type thing this time of year, but we're saying one thing and they're doing another.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
I suppose they've got reasons for doing
you
that.
You betcha.
But it's important to protect them as much as we can.
It certainly is, yeah. And it's, you know, again, just any little thing you can do to help these guys along is beneficial.
You bet. For Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Business Center here in greater downtown Atlantic, this has been Bob Evensley along with Grant Jolly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.